Let the old and the younger praise the Lord. His name alone is exalted forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. An alert parishioner the other day was looking up the Pentecost Vigil, that phrase, on the internet, and came across a most interesting article in the archives of all things, the New York Times. It seems that in the year 1886, the great anti-Americanist Archbishop of New York, Archbishop Kerrigan, conducted a mass preceded by the sung Easter, or the sung Pentecost Vigil, the same day and exactly in the same way as we have done it this morning. And then after the mass, the Archbishop confirmed, as we will confirm today, that he confirmed some 270 boys and girls and 15 adults. It is a wonderful thought to be standing in the course, in the tradition of our Catholic history, which takes us far further back than St. Patrick's Cathedral over 100 years ago, but back to the early days of the Catholic Church, when the Church would keep watch and await the coming of God the Holy Ghost as for the dawn. Once a man was visiting a cemetery. In the 19th century, that was a very popular pastime. People would even picnic there in cemeteries. The thought of death is always a wholesome, salutary one. Well, this man was looking at headstones, tombstones, and he came across a curious inscription. The inscription read, the man's name, here lies so-and-so, died at the age of 90, having lived for 3 years. The man was puzzled by that. He couldn't figure it out. He went to see the caretaker of the cemetery, who explained to him that this man had lived his entire life up to the age of 87 without God and without grace. And only the last 3 years did he live in the fear of the Lord. So therefore he put this inscription on his tombstone. He was old when he died, but he was also very young. The Church intends that our young people, our youth, right at the very age of reason, when they will either commit a mortal sin, St. Thomas teaches, or perform a meritorious action, a good deed for the glory of God, that they should receive at that moment the perfection, the completion of their baptism by means of the Holy Ghost coming at confirmation. Confirmation, then, is not for a Catholic a kind of a Christian bar mitzvah or a graduation ceremony. It is the necessary work of the sanctifier in each individual little soul so that they will now become spiritual adults grown up in the eyes of God and ready to face anything and everything which the world and the devil will throw at them. And they can be strong, they can be firm, young in years, but already will they be strong and perfect Christians and brave little soldiers of Christ. Thus it is the canon law, the Church law, that children should be confirmed as soon as possible when they have reached the age of reason, and how much they need these graces today. But the Holy Ghost is not just for the young. He's for the old as well, whom the psalmist urges to praise our Lord's holy name. He's for the old. He must accompany us through every stage of our life, and certainly the last stage, as we prepare to go to meet God and to be judged. It is only when we are old, perhaps, and have persevered in prayer, in Mass, the sacraments. It is only when we are old that we perceive the presence of the Holy Ghost all the way through. Lead kindly, light. Lead thou me on, as wrote Cardinal Newman. The Holy Ghost does lead us on. Very often in life, we think and we ponder and we pray and make a decision and follow one path rather than another And it seems to us at the time, we're just doing the best we can and nothing more, according to our own lights. And it is only later, when we are older, when we realize, as did the apostles, the disciples, on the way to Emmaus on Easter afternoon, that our hearts were burning within us. And it was God's presence, His own Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who was leading us all of that time. May He lead us even unto a perfect end. The Holy Ghost is needed by everyone, young and old alike, as He is the sanctifier who brings us to the state of sanctifying grace, to be alive with God's life in our souls, or who restores that to us in the sacrament of penance. But I think that the sacrament of confirmation and the great work of the Holy Ghost in an individual soul or in the whole church cannot be understood if ever we allow ourselves, as it would be easy to do today, to forget that confirmation is the sacrament of martyrs. It's not just the sacrament of a charming custom for children and a little celebration for them in their innocence, and then life resumes. It is the sacrament which makes martyrs out of the young and the old alike. The church was gripped with a terrible heresy for centuries, beginning in the early 4th century, called the heresy of Arianism. There were many then, at one point almost the majority, who, as many today hold, believed that only our Lord was only a creature, oh, a great man, but created like any other being, and not God of God in light of light. They were called the Arians, who denied our Lord's divinity. Entire nations were have fallen into this heresy and were ruled over by Arian kings. This was the time of the great barbarian invasions into the Roman Empire. And there was a certain man, Saturus was his name, a high official in the palace of the king Hunneric, the king of the Vandals. This would be about the 5th century. He was a Catholic, he and his family, and they were Catholics quietly, privately. It was against the law. The king would never have tolerated anyone in a position of trust who professed the Catholic faith. Well, one day, this Saturus was denounced to the king as a Catholic. He didn't follow the Arian heresy. And the king banished him from his presence and threatened him to be separated from his family and they sold into slavery unless he would join the Arian sect and denounce Christ's divinity. He told the king that, in the words of the apostle, he must obey God rather than men. He could never do this. His wife, hearing of this, came to him in tears. She was one of those worldly Catholics who thinks more of this life, which passes so quickly, and not too much of eternal life. She threw herself at his feet. She implored him. She begged him, consider me your wife. Consider our children and their whole lives in front of them, their prospects of a good marriage and education and the rest. Don't do this, she said. God will understand. What kind of a God would expect us to make such a sacrifice? Couldn't you almost hear someone saying those same words today? And they do, very often. Many people make free to speak for God, and it's usually by means of diminishing the divinity and taking away some of the terror of his awful judgments and sanctity. But Saturus answered his wife that he could never do such a thing. He loved her dearly, and the children as well. But God comes first. This life is important, he said, but eternal life is what matters. And she left in tears. He was banished from the court, separated from his family, and he died sometime later in absolute poverty and misery because he professed the Catholic faith, and he would not compromise it. He had the sacrament of confirmation. It is the sacrament which makes martyrs. In today's Holy Gospel, our Lord prophesies. He says, "In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me." On this day, in this upper room, where the Holy Ghost will shortly descend to make soldiers of Christ of these young Christians, I invite each one of you, by the power of that same Holy Ghost, to confess Jesus Christ, our Lord, and then to live that same faith you profess with your words. For those of you who follow no religion or a man-made religion or the modernist religion that has taken over our churches, reject it. Walk away from it. It is not the religion of the ages. It is not the religion of the eternal God. It is one more modern heresy, and the greatest of them all, that sets up the reign of Antichrist in our midst. Say no to it. Turn your back on it. Sacrifice anything so as to be in Christ. That means to be in his mystical body, to be in his church, the church of the ages, which cannot change and which can never teach us evil or lead us down a false path. For those of you who are Catholics, and even traditional Catholics, but have let things go a bit, and your Easter duty calls, and perhaps the example you give to these little ones in your daily life, at home, in your entertainment, is not all that it should be, to say the very least, I invite you, too, to confess Christ by the way in which you live, and not just to start making it to Mass on Sunday mornings, but every morning and every evening and all in between, to live as befits a Christian whose body and soul is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Live as befits someone who is united with our Lord in his mystical body, the Church. And for those of you, last of all, who profess with us the same unchanging Catholic faith in the same Holy Mass, I invite you to profess the whole of the Catholic faith without compromise, and that you too should be in Christ Jesus. That is to say, that you should realize and accept the truth that the Catholic Church and her vicar, the Vicar of Christ on earth, could never teach us any error, and that today we are facing the apostasy of the last times in all probability, and in any case, you must confess Christ and reject any communion, any being one with the Antichrist, especially at the sacred moment of your Mass. May you too have the courage, the day of your confirmation, to reject any link and any tie with this awful apostasy of the one world Church, which reaches out its tentacles to you and to your immortal soul. May we be, all of us, young and old, found together in our Lord, and our Lord in the Father, whose name alone is blessed for the ages. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.